broadcasting to you from the other side, by which I mean the other side of Sheffield. This is Two Men and a Ghost.
Right, here we are for the Two Men and a Ghost Next Generation podcast number 2, where we revisit all the places we visited the first time about 4 or 5 years ago. We're older, we're not wiser, and today we're visiting a place called Brian Clough in Sheffield.
Have you really?
Yeah, well, that's what you told me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we're down a dark country lane. It's not even a lane with any road markings. We're just sitting. Gosh, if I was to walk out my side of the car, I'd fall in some mud, wouldn't I? So, oh no, that's Mike's skeleton snow globe going on, just to add to the atmosphere. It's very authentic.
Great atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
So just to set the scene, I met Mike. In the middle of Sheffield, I met him on a street, and we're here. We're here to find a ghost.
That sounds really bad.
Yeah, that's right. And you were very cheap, weren't you? and we're here trying to find a ghost of a young lady who's been sighted here in Brian Clough.
Yes.
And but we couldn't even find where you parked your car. So
we couldn't actually. Yeah. No, that was really bad. We found it eventually.
Yeah, well, we're here now.
Never mind.
But we're tanked up with Tesco's orange juice.
Absolutely.
And mini cheddars.
Absolutely.
And we're raring to go. So, Mike, do you want to set the scene? I'm looking out.
Yes.
The sun's gone down. It's sort of dusk. There's still a bit of light in the sky. And we're looking out over a deserted field with a lot of water and mud and everything. So why are we here?
Well, first of all, shall we just say welcome everybody to listening in to Two Men and a Ghost, our haunting kind of new, old haunts thing. Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have an audience sitting in the back of the car.
Yes, thank you.
And the Wurlitzer organ in the booth.
Yes, it keeps coming up and down, doesn't it?
He does.
A bit weird, is that?
Yeah, and the organ.
Absolutely. Never mind. Hold on. There's somebody not feeling very well at the back. Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have a shower now.
No. Oh.
Mike!
Sorry, it was that bloke. We're just going to have to
All right,
him out.
It's the organist.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh!
Never mind. Right. We're here at Elves Clough.
Oh, not Brian Clough.
No.
Oh, I got it wrong. Did I get it wrong again?
You've still got football on your mind.
Oh, I'd rather not.
No, sorry about that. No, basically, Elves Clough is an interesting place. It's interesting on two grounds. One, obviously, it's got attached to it like a ghost story. But is it me, but it seems to have got darker outside.
Actually, it has.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe the ghosts are scared.
Yeah, I think I'm going to join them. But there is a kind of story to all this that is very much a tragedy. You know, that is. It was one of the things that attracted me before. Because as we said before, it would be nice, as it's been quite a long time, to visit all
the. Well, you told me the story a few years ago, but you found out more information, haven't you?
Indeed, yes, absolutely, indeed. Right, okay, here we go. Elves Clough.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Are you sitting comfortably?
Uncle Mike,
yes.
We'll begin.
And here we are, and here we begin. Basically, the story begins back in the mid-1700s. You're talking around 1745, to be precise. And if you wanted to see the actual the result of what took place somewhere not far from where we are right now, you would find somewhere in these woods the possible remains of the foundations of an old stone house. I think the sad thing is, it is actually, genuinely, it is a beautiful area, but it is also the setting for what became a terrible tragedy. Back in 1745, there was this guy, and this man was called James Archibald Durant, and he was a...
Jimmy Durante?
Yeah. I'm showing my age as well, actually, I've just realised, because there are a lot of people listening to this will say, who the hell was Jimmy Durante?
He was the person that Eric Morecambe imitated.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Mind you, a few years from now, there'll be a lot of people...
Who won't know Eric Morecambe.
Yeah, I know. Ignorance begets ignorance, doesn't it?
Yeah. They'll know Keith Lemon, but they won't know Eric Morecambe.
Is he?
Eric Morecambe?
No, Keith Lemon.
Oh, Keith Lemon, right. Yeah, you don't want to know.
Oh, no. Oh, I think I know you. Oh, yeah, fine. Right. He was a Scottish laird in the Hebrides.
James Archibald Durant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Not
Keith Lemon.
Not Keith Lemon. Yeah. He was in the Hebrides or the Hebrides.
The Hebrides.
The Hebrides. He actually had royal connections at that time. He was a distant cousin of the royal house of Stuart. Nice lad, Stuart.
Yeah.
I've got a friend actually called Stuart. Hello, Stuart. Well, anyway, one of the things he was very well known for was the fact that he had quite a bad temper.
Hmm.
And he became extremely jealous because he thought that his wife was having some kind of affair or some sort of relationship with, I think it was like a young cousin of hers.
Right.
Now, they weren't, from what history tells us, but he would not be convinced. And the bottom line of it was that Durant killed him, he stabbed him.
Oh.
When his wife found out, his wife must have, I'm guessing, must have had perhaps some medical condition, because the shock of this taking place, she ended up having some form of a heart attack. And the eerie side was she actually died on the very same spot that the young cousin died on.
Right.
Now, that's when the proverbial it's the fan for the remainder of the Durant family, which only consisted of Durant himself and his young daughter. They are taken out by the local islanders. They're taken out without a trial. But whilst thinking how he's going to get out of this one, because his relation, his famous relation being Charles Edward Stuart, had arrived in Scotland from France, he was basically gathering up all true Scotsmen to help fight the English. So Durant, he decided to seize the opportunity and thought, well, if I make this some kind of honourable exile, it'll look far better than being tried for murder. So he signed over his estates to his kinsmen and taken some money, some jewels, his trusty claymore, and of course...
What is a claymore?
Sword or dagger, isn't it?
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. Clay no more. Sorry, a bit of
I'm seeing them in a couple of days.
Yeah, Monty Python kind of jumped
Python...
in. Does she go? Nod as good as wink to a blind bat. Sorry about that, everybody. Couldn't hold back on that one. And also with his daughter, Selina, they joined up with everybody who were at that point invading England. Now, the invading force came down as far as around the area of Derby, but when the Scottish troops decided to move back, he remained. He and his daughter managed to find in the place of Emsworth, they went to a place called the Hare and Hounds, and the landlord, he took pity particularly on the child, and he decided to let them stay for several months. Now, it was during this time that it was Durant who decided to stay and buy some land in the area.
And this is around here, is it?
Yes, exactly where we are.
Right.
He went and he bought some land off a local farmer.
Mm.
And whilst he was here, he built a stone house. He obtained a license, and he decided to sell beer, white ale. I'm not sure what white ale is, actually.
White ale, yeah.
Do you know what white ale is?
It's not milk, is it?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, what? No idea. And also Virginia tobacco. I suppose he was the creator of the first corner shop. Without a corner.
Without a corner.
Now, as the years went by living here, now this is where even more of the proverbial, it's the fan. Selena, his daughter, who apparently was very attractive. Does she go? Does she go? Say no more. Sorry.
Selena Scott.
She was seen one of the local guys, a guy called Paul Lassen.
Right.
And she was seeing him in private. And it wasn't so much that she was seeing this guy in private that caused the problem. It was the fact that she ended up marrying, without her father's consent,
wow,
this son of a Calvinist minister. Of course, when Durant found out, that was it. Everything went, you know, chaos. And Durant and Paul Lassen ended up in a fight. Durant came the worst off in that, simply in self-defense, I would say that Paul did kill Durant.
Gosh.
But he ended up having to run away.
And Durant was the one who killed him in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. It had gone... It's a terrible tragedy. His daughter would have seen something come full circle.
Yeah.
And so... Paul runs away, and eventually, because there was nobody there to actually look after the place and do things, and she's left alone, and eventually the house falls into ruin. Now, at what age she is when she passes away, I have no idea.
Mm.
I couldn't tell you. What I can say is that over the past number of years, now this is where we get into the area of, okay, we're talking about two guys visiting old aunts, and this was one of the areas we covered at one point a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one of the key reasons why this area attracted me so much was, although it's a beautiful area, it was tinged with sadness.
Because this poor girl, and she'd done nothing wrong. She'd lost her mum, then her dad, and then her husband.
Absolutely.
And her where she lived.
Absolutely, absolutely. But over the past years, there was an occasion where a school teacher, he heard the stories about the possibility of seeing a ghost of a young girl around here. He was extremely cynical. And apparently around here there is a pond at some area. I'm not sure where, to be truthful, but it's not far from where we are at this spot. And he saw rising out of the small pond at the top edge of a field this young woman.
Oh, crumbs.
There was another case going quite a bit back. We're talking June 1965 now, where... walking down Lightwood Road, where is exactly where we are right now.
This is where we are now, yeah.
Absolutely. There was a similar situation where a family happened to be walking up here, and when they looked across to the field, which would be on our left...
I'm looking out the window while you're talking. I can see it through the window.
There... at one point, there would have been like corn or whatever there, and they saw this young girl walking across. She didn't kind of like acknowledge their presence. She kind of drifted across the road and went straight across into the woods that are over on our right. One of the things that they noticed, it added up to the stories that she was a young girl in a long, light-coloured gown, flowery pattern, very flowered hat. And when he went to the to his left where the cornfield was, nothing had been pressed down. You know what it's like yourself. If you had to walk through tall grass...
Yeah, you'd leave
like
a
that,
trail, wouldn't you?
Exactly. There was no trail. So he decided to follow and go exactly where she could have gone. But the woodland that he went to, a lot of it came to a pretty much a dead end. She had to be somewhere, but she'd gone. And there was equally another case where, again, a family in exactly where we are right now had experienced a similar thing. And when they spoke to one of the neighbors, they acknowledged that, yes, from time to time, something is seen, but they just put it down to the fact that for some reason, they couldn't say what, that this particular spot, this particular area, does attract this strange phenomenon coming out of this field.
Yeah, when we parked here last time, I didn't know what to expect, and you were following directions precisely.
Yes.
We parked here in this exact same spot.
We did indeed, yeah.
And we
did.
Looked out, and right behind us, and it's still there,
yes,
is an enormous great electricity pylon.
Yes.
This whole area is full of electrical pylons and wires and activity, and we sort of wondered if maybe there's electrical fields or forces that do something. I don't know.
I think you had a very strong point, actually, because... it's like when we've been over to areas like Stocksbridge.
Yeah. That was the last podcast.
Yeah, that's a similar situation.
There were pylons running all along the road.
That's right. You know, you've got all these there. And whether or not... It's one of these things whereby you've got to kind of have an open mind. Whether or not the electrical current, whether or not there is some link to it, and wherever you find that there's a greater some sort of disturbance is usually connected with something that generates this kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. At the end of the day, as we've said so many times, we're always seeking that which cannot be found.
And we succeed. We don't find
we
it.
We always succeed.
We can't even find your blooming car.
I know. Well, I was too busy getting hugged by that big woman anyway.
I wasn't going to mention that.
No, I shouldn't have mentioned that.
Was it Big
actually.
Bertha?
She was too busy choking me, to be honest.
things that happen in Sheffield.
Yeah, she was a very nice lady who just needed some help at that second in time. And she was very gracious.
You were a good Samaritan. You helped her out. And she gave you a big bear hug, which nearly broke your neck.
She was fully dressed.
Oh, but not, no. You know what I mean.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
But it was just that, afterwards she was saying, oh, you're such a wonderful man. I'm going, you're choking me. You know, put me down. bless her. You know, but
That's right, you're about 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah, my goodness me. Okay, we've been here a while. What's your feelings and opinion of where we are? I mean...
It's very secluded.
Yes.
I can't see any houses anywhere.
Yes.
There are no street lights.
No.
And it's one of those roads that's... It's sort of an archway, as far as we can see, of trees.
It is.
We can't... The sky, we have to... Even standing in the middle of the road, you have to look through trees to get to see the sky. So it's...
Yes.
It's a very atmospheric area.
It's very atmospheric.
Yeah, whether you believe in the ghost or not, it's not somewhere I'd like to walk on my own at night time.
No, I agree. Mind you, we have forgotten to share that, and I'm sure it's still there. You remember just back there, there was a sign there?
About there was a mysterious building.
Yes.
With barbed wire all around it.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And there was those dogs who solicited.
Well, we've thought about it long and hard, and there's this sign outside the barbed wire in this mysterious building that says, "Beware loose dogs."
Yeah. Now that really worries me.
We beware loose women, but loose dogs.
I mean, that is disgusting.
That's just twisted.
I mean, good grief. I mean, you know, when you get to that point where you can't walk past.
Yeah.
And, you know, having a chihuahua standing there.
I did hear that this was an area for dogging.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Loose dogs.
Oh, that is disgusting. You know, when you've got a big dog there saying, come here, do you want to see my puppies? You know, I mean, it's just disgusting. You know, I don't know how people put up with it, quite honestly. You're right.
I'm sorry. I thought we were telling a tragic story.
Oh, we are. Sorry. The problem is, it's one of those situations, one of those places that, you know, there's a lot of, you get it a lot of ghost hunting teams, let's face it, who, bless them in all their heart and all their sincerity, will go out, and all their gizmos, I'm always impressed with their gizmos.
They've got appliances.
They have their appliance with science.
They have paraphernalia.
Yeah. Now look at our gizmo. Shall we share with the good people?
You have a wind-up vibrating torch.
Absolutely. I like it. It's good. It doesn't run on batteries.
Yeah.
Just wind it up.
It's eco-friendly.
Absolutely.
It just runs on mini cheddars.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Gustav on the organ at the back. I think he wants us to move on.
Oh, okay, Gustav. Right. Okay, so are we going to call it a night regarding here? Because I can't... In fact, I can't see anything out there.
Well, the whole time you've been talking, I was looking at the field, and I see the occasional bat or something, but that's it. So
bats.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, now that's an idea.
Yeah, shall we try and find a ghost in a late night McDonald's or something?
Yeah, you think there'd be one?
Well, it depends who's serving.
Okay then. Right. What we'll do is we'll say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Okay, thanks for everything. Thanks for coming. Thanks for all those people who are in the boot of the car.
Yay!
Thank you for arriving. And we'll see you again.
Right, look out for podcast number 3, which will be even worse.
Broadcasting to you from the other side. By which I mean... the other side of Sheffield. This is two men and a ghost.